It truly is a blessing to be together, to sing praises to our God, to open up His Word, and to learn of His will and apply it in our lives. As the songs have been expressing, that our God is a God of love. And He demonstrated that in the giving of His Son, that we could become His children. And we should be rejoicing at that hope that we can find in Him. And certainly, it is encouraging that He has given us the ability to be able to come together and to worship Him. I am so thankful for each of you and glad that you are here, those of you visiting with us. We encourage you to open up your Bibles and to study along. And if you have any questions, please get with us and talk with us about these things because they are important to us. If you have your Bibles, look at Jude. Verses 24 and 25. In those verses, Jude expresses a very important point about God. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forevermore. And He says, Amen. When you think about what the Scripture teaches, the focus is on our recognition of who God is and His great authority. We have pointed out in our discussion about how it is important for us to recognize God's authority. When you look at the crossing of the Jordan, there you see the lesson that is found is the giving of hope to the downtrodden. There was the fall of Jericho, the confidence in those knowing that if we follow God, we will be victorious. And then learning the lesson from the man of God that if we do not do what he says, then it would cost us our lives. We also learned in regards to recognizing the authority of God that is found in Christ Jesus, who is King and now is on His throne, ruling from heaven. We recognize the authority of God in the New Covenant. That's where we find what God requires of us today. And if we want to be in harmony with Him, we must look to the New Covenant because that came into effect when Jesus gave His life. He died for our sins on the cross and was raised from the dead. And then the writings of the apostles will refine the mind of God and what God requires of us. We also looked at those who recognized the authority of God, and that was the Thessalonians, as they continue to give themselves in learning and growing. And then we saw the centurion demonstrate his recognition of God's authority, that even though he had authority, God's authority in Christ Jesus was far superior. And then the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, that demonstrated not a way of salvation, but it demonstrated someone recognizing who Christ is. And that is the one who is in authority, that will have a kingdom, and who will rule in that kingdom. And that's what we see in regards to the thief on the cross. As we continued our study, we talked about how we can recognize God's authority in the Scriptures or the writings by the apostles and prophets as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And we looked at direct statements, which are crystal clear. There is no ifs, ands, buts about it. We could see God's authority in those direct commands, those direct statements that are made in the Scriptures. We also learned in that as you learn about those direct statements, that those statements can be generic and they can be specific. Generic in the sense of general, carrying out God's will, specific in God limiting us to what He wants us to do and how He wants us to do these things. I want to add in regards to that, in connection to the writings of the Scriptures, is this. Notice that in the Scriptures we learn about God's authority as God spoke throughout the ages. In Genesis, remember, He spoke to Adam, Noah, and Abraham. In the prophets, Isaiah to Malachi, we see the prophets, God speaking to them for them to proclaim His will. We also saw in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, at the baptism of Jesus, where God spoke, the voice coming from heaven. And then in chapter 17 and verse 5, we saw in regards to the transfiguration, in regards to God recognizing or encouraging the disciples to recognize that Jesus is His beloved Son and that they need to listen to Him. And then we saw in Acts chapter 1, or see in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, where God was giving commandments to His apostles by the Holy Spirit. So what is that telling us? It is telling us that when you and I recognize the authority of God and we do what He says, we are actually listening to the voice of God. Because all of this was summed up in what Peter said over in 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, where Peter talks about these things, the majestic glory that spoke in regards to Matthew 17. He was there. He saw, He heard those things that was spoken by God. And then he says in verse 20, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So when we listen to what or read what the apostles and prophets wrote, and we obey those things, understand we are obeying the voice of God. And that voice is authoritative. Remember the reading that was done by Brother Wayne in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 27 through 30? I want us to go back to those passages and look at the context of chapter 30. And then looking at those verses in particular. Remember what he does in chapter 30, the prophet Isaiah, God is speaking through him. And through that prophet, what he is saying, that God is rebuking Israel's reliance or alliance with Egypt. And why? Why was God rebuking them for their alliance with Egypt? Because it was unauthorized, as verse 1 tells us. And then even looking at verse 9 of Isaiah of chapter 30. Notice what the prophet said in those verses concerning Israel and their failure to listen to the voice of God. In verse 9, he says, "For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord." Drop down, if you will, or verse 9, verse 1, in talking about, God rebuking them because they did not listen to what He said in making the alliance with Egypt. And then what else you see in those verses? That God is going to be gracious to them, though. We see the mercy. We see the love of God. Drop down in verse 18 and notice what the prophet says. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. And therefore, He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for Him. Those who listen to what He says. Those who seek and desire to obey God's will or to obey His voice, God longs for that. And so you see His graciousness, you see His mercy, you see His love expressed in that statement of verse 18. Then I want you to notice what He then does. When you drop down to those verses of 27 through 9 here, or 30, what you're seeing, God is going to execute judgment. Why is that? Because He's a God of justice. Those who refuse to listen, God judges. And that's what He is doing here. And He's going to do that to the Assyrians. So when God speaks, as pointed out in those verses, His voice is authoritative. Now, it's going to be one of two things when God speaks. Number one, it's going to be a day of rejoicing. Yeah, a day of rejoicing. Look at verse 30, if you will, or 20, let's see, 29. Look at verse 29. You will have songs as in the night when you keep the festival, and gladness of heart as when one marches to the sound of the flute, to go to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. When God speaks and He instructs, if we listen and do what He says, we're going to have a song as He's speaking concerning His people. We're going to rejoice. And the reason why we're going to be rejoicing is because we're doing His will. But for those who do not listen to the voice of God, verses 27, 28, and 30 are warnings, consequences to not listening to the voice of God. That's what you're seeing in those verses. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from a remote place, burning in His anger, and dense is His smoke. His lips are filled with indignation, and His tongue is like a consuming fire. God doesn't want to do that. He longs to have a relationship with us. But when we fail to listen to what He says, these are the reaction that God has towards us. His breath is like an overflowing torrent, which reaches to the neck to shake the nations back and forth in a sieve, and to put in the jaws of the people the bridle which leads to ruin. He's going to guide you to destruction for failing to listen to what He says. And then you drop down to verse 30. And the Lord will cause His voice of authority to be heard. You're going to recognize that He is God. You're going to recognize that He is the one that is in control, the one who demands of us to do His will. And then He talks about the descending of His arm to be seen in fierce anger. So what does that say? It's imperative that we recognize God's authority. That's what it's forcing us to do. In fact, when you're looking at these things and you're thinking about them, you're doing the very principles that God wants us to do in the first place. He wants us to open up His Word, to study it, and then as we're studying and learning from it, the Scriptures are going to impose on us God's demands. It's going to imply various lessons. And these things were written for us so that we might examine them. And so what I want to do is talk about how do we continue to recognize the authority of God in the writings, as we did with the direct statements, but also the approved examples and the necessary conclusions that you and I are forced to draw when we read God's Word. They are necessary for us to draw them, to have conclusions or make judgment whether we're going to do or reject That's what it will boil down to. So let's begin in the examination of these things concerning examples. Examples can be positive or negative. If they are approved, that means God authorizes that. It's okay to do. If they are unapproved, remember, they are condemning. They're in violation of God's will. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, the apostle writes to the Corinthian brethren. Remember, what they were doing is they were recognizing the wisdom of the world. And by recognizing the wisdom of the world, and they are going and headed that way, it was really in violation of really not recognizing that Jesus was the one that died for them. And that the wisdom of God leads us to salvation. And so when you look there, particularly in verse 6, he says, now these things, as he writes about the historical incidents that happened in the Old Testament, he says, now these things happen as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Now we see that examples are negative. They're not approved when you look back at all the things that God judged. Now look down as we continue to express and see God's will in the matter. Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10. Now these things happen to them as an example. Notice that. And they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So those examples are authoritative. They're showing whether God approves of something or not. If He approves of them, they're okay. We have the green light to go and do. If He doesn't approve of them, we need to stop. Change direction. Because if we continue down that path, just as God spoke through Isaiah back there in Isaiah chapter 30, that will be us. Whether it be a nation or as individuals. Yeah. That's the voice of God speaking. So it's important that we recognize that and look at those examples in the scriptures. Here's something else about that. I don't know if you, I'm sure you, many of you remember 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. But you notice something very important in these verses. Notice what Peter says to these brethren. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. Now notice, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. Our mindset, if we're going to follow the Christ, is to strive not to commit sin, or purpose, our aim. Not to commit sin, nor for deceit to be found in our mouth. And when we are reviled against, we don't do it in return. And that's hard. There's no doubt about that. But that's the example that Christ left for His followers. And we are obligated to follow in His footsteps. We are to entrust ourselves to God who judges righteously. It's imperative that we do that. And if we fail to do so, then we're not following the example of Christ. It's sort of like what we're doing is we're throwing away or breaking the mold or the model. We're replacing the model that God set with a model that we put into place. What does that say? We're failing to recognize the authority, the rulership, the leadership, the ultimate model in Christ. That's the problem that we'll run into. So it's important for us to make sure that we're following the examples that Jesus set before us. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1 that we were there before, if you look back at the passage in verse 1, notice what Paul said there in the passage. He says, "Be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ." Peter said it. Paul expresses this to those brethren. And when you and I sit down and we read this and we do these things, we are listening to the voice of God. We're following the perfect, ultimate example laid down before us. I strive to lay down a good example for my children. Sometimes I falter. I don't intend to do so. That's not my purpose. My purpose is to be a good example. But my failure doesn't come because I'm a good person or striving to be a good person and making myself as the standard. No, I'm following the example of Christ. And I miss it. The encouragement for my children is, follow my example, as Paul is saying to these brethren, as I am following Christ. Because I'm telling them that Christ is the ultimate example of what you should be. Because Dad misses it sometimes. Yeah. And that's the way it is in reality. That's why God set Christ there, the perfect example, the perfect model, the authoritative standard of living, Christ Jesus. That's also expressed over there in Acts chapter 17. We're going to be judged by that standard. As Paul pointed out there in verses 30 and 31 of Acts 17, we're going to be judged by that. So it's a very powerful example. So we can recognize God's authority in those examples that are set for us. Let's go on to the next point. Remember I said necessary conclusions? What do I mean by that? I mean by something necessary, something that must be. It must be done. That cannot otherwise be. It's unavoidable. That's the idea of necessary. Unavoidable. Conclusion is the close, it's the close of an argument or the reasoning or the final results of something. We do this and we exercise that every day. We just don't realize it. And what we end up doing a lot of times is when we get to the scriptures, if we read them, we throw those things out the door. Because here's our argument. Here's our rationale. God will understand that I'll do whatever I want to do. That's how we rationalize that. Well, God, since God isn't here, since I can't see Him, it's okay for me to do That's how we rationalize that. But if God was standing right here, I wouldn't do it. Because I know that it would be wrong. But since he's not here, we throw all of those types of reasoning and thinking out the door about these necessary conclusions. After we examine all the facts, all the information, and we draw a conclusion, here's a passage that we use quite a bit. But I want to see that principle strongly used. It's in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. I want you to notice verse 13. Does he not say, after you read through the book of Ecclesiastes and you get to chapter 12 and verse 13, all of that information, all of the things that he said, forces a conclusion to the whole matter. The New American Standard says, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to everyone. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Do you see that? The Ecclesiastes writer has drawn a necessary conclusion out of all the information that he laid down in the earlier verses, in chapters and verses of the book. But we hone in on this. But the writer says, the conclusion when all has been heard is. And really, it is interesting the way that the English words this. It words it as one whole conclusion, really, is. He doesn't really go are, is. And it's as a whole. Fear God. They go together and keep his commandments. In other words, you cannot separate and say, well, fear God. I'll fear God, but I won't keep his commandments. The Ecclesiastes writer is saying, you can't do that. In essence, that's what he's doing. See, that's the conclusion. He's forcing us to look at that when we examine it. And he's saying, he is recognizing, he's telling us to recognize God's authority in the whole matter. And he further emphasizes that in verse 14. Yeah. When the information is set before us, when it comes to God, God forces us to draw conclusions to the matter. And that's what he did here in these passages. I want you to notice a New Testament incident where that happened. Acts chapter 15. Some of you are familiar with Acts 15. In Acts 15. Let me go back here to this one. In Acts 15. We'll get there. There was where the disciples came together. And when they came together, they were talking about situations that occurred. Because what some had done, they'd gone and they started spreading things that were not according to the new covenant. Because there were some that went about and said, you cannot be saved unless you are circumcised according to the law of Moses. That's not what the new covenant was teaching. And so when they had this argument and discussion about this, Paul and Barnabas gave God's approval in what they were doing. That's what they pointed out to those brethren. How that they had gone among the Gentiles and how God was there approving what they had done and preaching to the Gentiles that salvation is through Christ Jesus. And then Peter spoke about his situation with Cornelius as well. And these become very interesting in the passages and how they are expressed for us. So that when we look at the scriptures, we can see God's wisdom coming forth. In fact, we can see God's love being expressed towards us in those verses. And then what James does, or as they talk about these things, after all these things have been said, verse 19. Therefore, that's an indication, conclusion is being drawn. It is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning to God from among the Gentiles. They had to conclude that. Among the Jews. They had to conclude it. Because the Gentiles were being saved. But that we write to them that they abstain from things contaminated by idols and from fornication and from what is strangled and from blood. And then, if you will drop down, verses 20 and 28. In verses 20 and 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. God approving what Paul and Barnabas was doing. God approving what Peter taught the house Cornelius. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these essentials. What are we seeing here? We're seeing brethren discuss an issue and draw conclusions. So to do that, you need information. God amply supplies it for us. And remember, as God amply supplies this for us, and we listen to what is being stated in His Word, and we draw the conclusion that God wants us to draw from His Word, then as we apply it in our lives, we are listening to the voice of God. Brethren, that is powerful. When we really think about that, we're listening to God. Speak to us. And when we listen to God speak to us, we cannot help but grow. That's how powerful the voice of God is. And you could do this, apply these principles to a lot of things. Here in Acts chapter 20, verses 6 and 7, and you're reading about the facts of what Paul and those who were with him did. It says, we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas within 5 days, and there we stayed 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. They planned to come together to break bread. From this, we can start asking questions. You see, information and then context is so important to all of this. And then the use of common sense is involved as well. And you can begin to assess from this little bit of information about breaking bread, that these brethren did it on the first day of the week. Now here's a question. that we can ask ourselves. Is there any other time after the death and resurrection of Christ where the assembly came together or gathered together to break bread? For those of you who say, I don't know, I encourage you to search it out. That's all I ask. If that is the case, that we do not find anywhere else that the brethren gather together in another day after, after the death and resurrection of Christ to break bread, we are then forced to conclude that it's on the first day of the week. God forces us to do this to draw the conclusion. Now remember, if we recognize God's authority as we're supposed to, then we humbly submit. That principle is applied to the plan of salvation. That principle is applied to the worship of God. That principle is applied even when you start to look at the parables. They force us to draw lessons, very powerful lessons. So it is consistent with the voice of God. Looking at this, what are some conclusions that we can draw? We can draw from this in the recognizing of God's authority in the scriptures or the writings, in these direct statements, these approved examples, we are forced to conclude that God expects us to use our reasoning abilities. God expects that. God expects us to know, that is to learn of Him and do His will by following His example for us. God expects us to help others to learn and grow in Him for themselves. Because we will be then giving off the aroma of God in every place. And it will prevent us from falling prey to the devices of men. That's love, brethren. That's love. Would you pray with me? Our great and awesome God, thank you for your word that as we use the abilities that you have given us, that we could hear your voice, that we will listen as we learn of your will, that we will apply it in our lives, that we will be pleasing to you, that we will give off the aroma of praise, honor, and glory everywhere we go, that others will see you working in us, and that we might point them to your word so that they too can exercise their abilities in reasoning and listen to your voice for themselves. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of your will. Help us to teach others. Help us to be encouraged that you are there with us, helping us each step of the way. Thank you for the mercy in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is through him that we give you thanks, praise, honor, and glory. Amen. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, I'll show you several things here. If you look at the chart, it's an imperative that we follow God's will. And you can see by the information that is put on the chart, you can start to draw conclusions. And one conclusion that you can begin to see in the passage is that God requires us to have faith in Him. That the gospel is taught to individuals. And that gospel produces faith in Him. God expects and demands that we repent, we confess Him as Lord, and that we be buried with Him in baptism. There's no doubt about that. You draw that conclusion from the information that's there. That's why charts are so great to be able to see that. If you have not done this, I want to encourage you to do so before it's everlasting too late. Because when you do this, you know what you're doing? You're listening to the voice of God. You're not listening to me. You're listening to the voice of God. Because that's what God requires of us. So, my friend, can we assist you in your obedience to Christ? That you will listen to what He says? If so, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that was indicated.